Now this verse, to repeat the verse in text 26, is from 44th chapter, and they said, "Oh, Sakhi," this is the unmarried ladies of Mathura, commenting on the beauty of Krishna when Krishna entered the wrestling arena in Mathura. "I do not know what austerities the gopis of Vrindavan have performed to always be drinking the sweetness of Krishna's form with their eyes. What is the nature of Krishna's form? It is the essence of bodily beauty, Lavanya Sar. Within this material existence or above it, there is no beauty equal to Krishna's. What to speak of a greater beauty? Krishna is not decorated by anyone, nor is he perfected by ornaments and clothes. Rather, he is perfect in himself. While seeing this form, one does not become satiated, because Krishna's beauty increases at every moment. All fame, beauty, and opulence take shelter in Krishna's form. Only the gopis are fortunate to have such a darshan of Krishna, and no one else." So upon seeing Krishna in the wrestling arena, the ladies of Mathura, they said, "Well, he's coming here at the age of 11 years old, but the gopis have been seeing Krishna every day for 11 years. How fortunate they are. How exalted their bhav, their praying, their love must be so great that they were associating every day for 11 years with Krishna. We are just seeing him for a few moments and we're totally captivated by his unbelievable, incomparable beauty and elegance and charm." So this is Vishnu's commentary. "Another woman of Mathura said with amazement, 'O Sakhi, the good fortune of the Braja Devis is not the result of any austerity. Their prem is causeless and cannot be expressed in words.' If this lady had said, 'Listen, we can also go to Braj and drink the nectar of Krishna's beauty just like the gopis.'" If one gopi said this, one lady said this, then another lady would have replied, "That is very difficult for us Mathura Ramanis. Only by the mercy of the gopis, who possess the topmost prem, will it be possible for us to drink the nectar of Krishna's beauty." Then another lady starts speaking, "Oh, before, in the presence of the Braja Gopis, Krishna's beauty manifests in newer and newer forms, uninterruptedly, moment by moment." In other words, one lady of Mathura, she's appreciating that in the presence, when Krishna comes before the gopis, then his beauty increases more and more and more. This must be something they've heard, because there's no gopis in Mathura. But we see it, we see in front of us that Krishna is so beautiful. But we've heard from the ladies of Vrindavan, maybe the flower sales ladies or whomever have told, that when Krishna is before his beloved, then beauty increases more and more. This is a natural phenomenon which we discussed yesterday. That when someone comes before someone, if you come before a person you have great attachment to and love for, then your effulgence increases. Your happiness increases. Your beauty increases. And sometimes people will remark, "Are you thinking of someone?" Like, for example, a mother is seeing her son every day. He's going to school, he's coming home, and his face looks a certain way, and then one day, somehow or other, he falls in love with some girl in school. And maybe he meets her time to time. Then when he comes home, his face has a certain kind of glow, a certain kind of radiance. And his mother, if she's a little with it, perceptive, she'll look and say, "Oh, he seems to look different today." She'll say, "How was your school today?" "Oh, yeah, school, very fine, very nice, I like so much." "So, have you made any new friends lately?" no, same old. "Acha. Okay." And then from that, every day she sees, he's a little excited to go to school in the morning and comes home looking even more excited. So she can understand that his heart is opening towards a particular person. And with the blossoming of the heart, there's also an increase in the beauty, the physical beauty. You see that when a woman becomes pregnant, when she's carrying a baby, as is told in the Bhagavatam and the story of Krishna's birth, then when Devaki was carrying Devaki Nandan, she was carrying Krishna in her womb, which is everywhere repeated, this phenomenon. She became, of course, the body, everything increases in the body, the fullness of the body and the rasas of the woman's body, the fullness, the health, everything increases because she's about to deliver a child. But the demigods were coming to worship Devaki and Mathura because she was carrying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's described in the Bhagavatam how beautiful she looked, the natural glow of her face and her eyes looked so beautiful. And so that, because she was not only carrying love in her heart, motherly love, she's carrying a baby, but she was carrying the personification of love. The object of everyone's love was in her womb. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna was in her womb, so she was really emitting such a beautiful radiance and such an attraction. If you've ever seen a pregnant lady close to birth, 1 month to birth, and you know that person, so much beauty comes in their face and radiance, because it's a natural function of the lady. And then, so you can imagine what Krishna feels like when he sees the gopis. He comes before the gopis and he sees the face of the gopis, and he sees them, and in their face, their entire heart is being expressed. 100% of their heart is being expressed in the faces of the gopis. They don't hold anything back from Krishna. There's nothing reserved for someone else. They're not holding anything back. They don't have any second lover or other lover. All of their focus, all of their thinking, feeling, willing, all their activities, everything is Krishna, 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 hey. Everything is for Krishna. Their hearts are not divided. They're not a little bit of love for my husband, a little bit of love for my children, a little bit of love for my mother. Everything for Krishna, wholesale. So there are no greater dedicated units or units of dedication or devoted personages in the entire universe to compare with the gopis. So when such completely surrendered servants come before the Lord without even a drop of personal consideration, who are full of what is called samartha rati. Samartha rati is the complete object, samartha. The one and only object of their love is Krishna, without any division or any diminishing towards anyone else, then Krishna feels so thrilled and so happy. Because if you're showing me all your beauty, if you're showing me all your beauty and the beauty of your heart and love, then I can't but reciprocate in kind. And that's described in Adi Lila chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Radha and Krishna would have a continual competition. Radharani would see Krishna looking so beautiful, then her beauty would increase. And when Krishna would see Radharani's increased beauty, then his beauty would increase. And then when Radharani would see the increase in Krishna's beauty, then she would feel so excited and so enthused, her beauty would increase. Then Krishna would see that Radharani became more beautiful, then he would become more attractive and handsome. And it would just go on and on and on. There's no limit in this flow of beauty and love. Beauty, sweetness, and love, they go on parallel paths. Love and spiritual love is unlimited. Spiritual beauty is unlimited. Spiritual sweetness is unlimited. As the love increases, the beauty increases. As the beauty increases, the sweetness increases. Sweetness nourishes the beauty. The beauty nourishes the love. It goes like this. Beauty, sweetness, and charm. This is the love personified. Krishna is the embodiment of unlimited beauty. The most soothing. Lavanya Sara, this is a term. Lavanya, the essence of Lavanya, of effulgence, of soothing, comforting radiance, and depthless beauty. Lavanya Sara, the essence of that is Krishna. So these verses from 22 to 26, this last one, this text here from Shastayam Sarana, says the women of Mathura glorified the good fortune of the Braja Gopis, and they eagerly desire to have seva like theirs. These Mathura Ramanis, these young ladies of Mathura, they used to hear from the fruit sellers coming from Braj about the sweet pastimes of Krishna and the Braja Devis. By hearing descriptions of these pastimes, a yearning for seva like that of the gopis arose in their hearts. This is how it works. Like we often say, you cannot desire something you never heard about. Think about it. Can you desire to have something you never heard about? Impossible. So how can we desire to have service like the Braja Gopis if we never heard about the Braja Gopis and we never heard about their seva? How can we develop a desire to become anugatya, sakhi anugatya, unless we hear about their services? And if that hearing, and we hear repeatedly, and that hearing not only has to, we not only have to hear, but we have to hear with attention. Not only hear with attention, but hear with absorption. And that absorption we become pure by that hearing. And when that purity comes, then the desire arises. Simply hearing is not enough. As we hear and become absorbed, then something happens. We become purified by the hearing process. And when that purification occurs, then we actually, this is so nice. The way they serve Krishna is so sweet and so charming, and so innocent and beautiful. And someday I will have a spiritual body and I will also serve Krishna. I would like to serve Krishna like this or serve Radharani like this. This appeals to me. But this type of longing for service, which is seva lalasa, a longing for service only comes when the heart is purified. Now we only have longing for eating and longing for sleeping. But the whole idea, that's called shravana dasha. You have to hear about these subject matters, shravana dasha. Hearing about, so that's what happened to them. They're living in Mathura, far away from Braja Gopis and Rasleela and all these pastimes. But the fool walis and fall walis, the fruit sellers and flower sellers, because they pick all the flowers in Vrindavan, all the gardens are in Vrindavan. Mathura is a big city. Just like now, all the flowers in Vrindavan, they come from the Yamuna side. All the roses, chameli, and the kadamba, gulab, they all come from the banks of the Yamuna. Very rich soil there. And all the flower gardens are there. And all the malis, they go there and pick the flowers, and they go to Banka Bihari and sell them. They come to ISKCON and sell them, Rangaji and all these temples. So the same thing in Mathura. All the flower ladies would pick the flowers in big baskets, and then would go down to Mathura and sell them. And then these ladies in Mathura, they buy garlands for their Thakura, for worshipping in their house. And they say, what's the news? Kya samachar? Kya samachar? What's happening? Kya hua? Vrindavan mein kya hua? Vrindavan mein, Nandagaon mein kya hua? What happened? What happened in Nandagaon? Kal, Nandagram kya hua? What happened in Nandagram yesterday? Oh, you don't know. This big demon came, you know, your Kamsa, your rascal Kamsa. He sent this big demon, Agasura, this big demon, Aristasura came and, oh, Krishna, he just grabbed him by the horns and flipped him back and stomped on him. Wow, Krishna's really powerful. Oh, yeah, he's so powerful. So they heard and they became attached. And they said, well, you know, who are they? And then they talked about the gopis. They said, well, who are these gopis? What do they do? And why is Krishna like them so much? Oh, you don't know the gopis? Oh, they do so many nice services. They go out to the forest and they string flowers and they make garlands. And then they make tumble and so many things. They fan him and they massage his feet and they cook for him and they splash water on him and they dress him sometimes. They dance with him. They sing for him. They play musical instruments. And then there's Radhika. And there's a whole group of sakis that are engaged in Radhika's service. And so they were hearing like this. And then they came to appreciate hearing, then appreciation, then attraction, and then submission. And then hankering to have a similar service. So in our discussion here, that was, these verses were describing what is this Gopi Bhav and what do others think about this Gopi Bhav? What do other great devotees like Uddhava and Brahma and anyone who's ever had any contact with this Gopi Bhav, what do they think about it? What is their appreciation of it? And they're telling. So here, now the next discussion is, because when this whole level of Bhav is all about, at this time, the level of Bhav, then Krishna's actually to come to this platform, we actually have to be blessed by these associates, Nityasiddha Bhavasya, by the Nityasiddha Parikars of the Lord. They have to bless us with their Bhav. It is a gift. It is bestowed upon us. You can say there's a minute potential. There's a minute potentiality of every jiva to love God. But without contact, with outside source, it never manifests.
That's like
wood, latent within wood may be fire. But without the proper circumstances, the fire will never come out of the wood. It needs friction, need heat and so many things, and the fire will come out. So the contact with the higher energy, the spiritual energy, must contact the heart, mix in the heart, to bring about this love of God. Ramanda Brahmadekam, Bhagavan Jiva, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai, Bhakti Latabij. So this seed of devotion, this energy, this bhakti is a shakti. What is bhakti? It says that bhakti lata bija, the guru gives a bhakti lata. This is an analogy, but it's a shakti. He is kripa shakti, and the shakti he's carrying is bhakti shakti. And bhakti is a combination of ladini and samvit, shakti, potency, power. That is placed in the heart. That energy mixes in the heart and ignites that potential and creates the situation by which bhakti can develop. So if we practice bhakti nicely, if our sadhana bhakti is practiced nicely with the aim to attain bhav, and with the proper performance and practice, then the sadhana bhakti has its divisions that one passes, goes through. Vaidhi sadhana, then raganuga sadhana. And then he comes to a level of ruchi and asakti by the practice of raganuga sadhana. And then at this level he starts following the residents of Vrindavan and Navadvip, etc., usually Vrindavan, Navadvip. And he starts coming in line with the particular eternal associates. And then they give further blessings, further potency is injected into the heart from their heart, the Nitya Siddhas. And this is called the Bhava Bhakti, the Srup Shakti, from the Lord or his associates, comes into the heart. And this is what brings about the appearance of Bhava in the heart. It comes from outside. And with this bhava, then we develop the body of feelings. It's called bhav deha. Bhav deha means the body of feelings. And with that bhav deha, so then this brings about the manifestation of the deha. First comes the siddha deha. First comes the bhav deha, then siddha deha. So beginning of bhav is the bhav deha is developing. The bhava is the feelings, the foundation, the contact of this energy. Then in the later parts above, then one actually realizes he's awarded his siddha deha. It's awarded. It's given. You can say revealed, awarded, given, whatever you want to say, but it all depends on mercy coming from outside. When a siddha deha appears, the original spiritual form, in the advanced stage above, we will first know our name, then our form, then our qualities and associates. If we continue chanting and remembering, we will realize Krishna's form and our own as well. And there's some verse here that explains this point in this text number 11. This is from Krishna Karanamrita. So it's at the stage above, the Shudanam reveals Krishna's form. Bhaktistvai stiratara Bhagavan yadi syad daivena na falati divya kishora murti mukti mukti swayam ukulitanjali sevate sman dharmartha kama katya samaya pratiksha. This is from Bilalanga Thakur's Krishna Karanamrita. O Bhagavan, if someone has steady devotion unto your lotus feet, he easily perceives your most charming, divine, youthful form. Therefore, liberation stands before him with folded hands, and dharma, art, kama, wait for an opportunity to serve him. The pure name manifests in a person's heart when he chants with pure devotees. At the stage of bhakti that is symptomized, at that stage of bhakti, when the pure name manifests, it is symptomized by prema. And what happens is that at this level, various pastimes of the Lord manifest in the heart of the devotee, called lila spurtis. When this prema bhakti becomes manifest, Sri Krishna's transcendental youthful form automatically appears in the heart. Although Mukti Devi is neglected by devotees, she personally prays with folded hands for the devotee to accept her service. Dharma, art, and kam also wait for the opportunity to pray to the devotee for service. The Bhava Bhakta, who is inclined towards Madhurya Ras, is greatly allured by the divine adolescent form of Krishna. In other words, someone who's in Madhurya Ras, they're very attracted to the teenage form of Krishna. Because at this age, Krishna is called Shringara Rasa Vilas. Krishna displays his topmost pastimes of amorous love. This is explained in a verse from Madhya Leela, which actually comes from, this is a Bengali version of a Sanskrit verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rachidina kunje krida kare radha sange kaishara vayasa safala kaila krida range. It's an amazing depiction of God, amazing depiction of Bhagavan. Day and night, Sri Krishna enjoys the company of Sri Radha in the kunjas of Vrindavan. Thus, his youth was made successful by his pastimes with her. So it says, Kaishor Vayasa Safal, the fruit Safal, the complete fruit of his youth, of his teenage life, he made it fruitful by enjoying Krita Rangay, by enjoying amorous pastimes with Radha. So this is our God, that he spends his youth day and night enjoying with Radharani. It's quite an intimate and confidential view of the Supreme Godhead. So at this age, Krishna is so very displays all his cleverness and in a very sweet way. So this is explaining that, and this verse is revealing that at the level of bhava, one sees the form of Krishna, and these lila spurtis come. And then at this higher level of bhava, then also one perceives his own siddhadeha. First the name, then the seva. It goes like this. All the qualities of Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and their associates so manifest, so will our own qualities. Then Krishna's pastimes will appear, and so will our own qualities. Then Krishna's pastimes will appear in our heart automatically, like a garland, one pastime following another, without any effort on our part. So these. One more verse 16. It's illustrating this similar point. Text 16. I guess we can start that tomorrow. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is in other words, these are experiences that one has at the level above. These lila spurtis, seeing the form of the Lord, seeing his own form, then seeing pastimes of the Lord, and meditating on his own spiritual form, siddhadeya, entering into those pastimes which he's seeing and rendering some service which is given by his guardians, by his well-wishers, by his guru, says Guru Sakhi. So this is the sadhya, this is the goal. And this book is, of course, taking us, we're at the sixth level of sadhana. This is the bhav, level of bhav. And then the seventh and eighth, which are yugayatam, nimeshena, chakshusha, pravishayatam. Those are prem. Prem and Sambhog, and then viraha. So first there's viraha, and then there's sambhog, enjoying. So this is the progression, that some bhav comes into the heart, bhava bhakti, and when bhava bhakti comes into the heart, this energy, this bhava, this, you can say, it's generally described as sarup shakti enters the heart, then one starts to feel intense separation from the Lord, even as a sadhaka. Because now prema is, as the higher in the bhava, one feels intense separation. So he also feels like Lord Chaitanya felt, that one yuga, that a blinking of the eye is like one yuga. It feels like millions of years. And this is the stage of separation. And because one is at the level of bhava, he's qualified now to occasionally see the Lord. He has a darshan of the Lord, the level of bhava. And sometimes he enters into pastimes. He can see pastimes in his mind, in his heart. And he may enter those pastimes for some time. And so he's with the Lord. He's feeling directly, I'm with the Lord. Then that vision, that spurti breaks, and he can't. It's like you have a dream, and you're going here and there in the dream, and your friends, and doing so many things. You're totally into it, and it seems like it's going on forever. Then all of a sudden you wake up, oh, what happened? Hey, where's the dream? It's lost, it's broken. And sometimes you go back to sleep and you can pick up on that dream again, part two. You can catch that file again. You can open that file. You put it on hibernation or whatever. And you can open that dream file again and start part two. It happens. Not so often, but it can happen. So the great devotees, they at the level of bhav and prem, they have these type of sportis, these momentary visions, which may last for many moments, even many hours. And then it breaks and it goes out, and then they come back to external consciousness and say, oh, where was I? What happened? I was there. I was there with my Lord. I was brushing Radharani's hair and making a braid and then putting flowers in it. And my Guru Sakhi was encouraging me and handing me flowers that he had picked himself, or we picked together. We picked these flowers together. And now he's asked me, I've been engaged to make this baini for the Radharani. And my guru is handing me just the right flower to make the exact decoration in her garland. Small bokul flowers and ketiki flowers. And it looks so beautiful. Yellow and white flowers. So fragrant. And then suddenly one wakes up. Oh, what happened? Then he's crying. Oh, I was in such a beautiful place. I was engaged in such a wonderful intimate service. And seeing all the eternal associates of the Lord in my meditation, my bhav spurti. And now here I am back in Adelaide, back in New York, back in Queensland or Auckland or whatever it is, somebody's land. And where is that kunja and where is that radha and where did it all go? I break my head in separation. I feel so much pain. Oh, Krishna, please let me see that again. So hankering, crying, then this separation is there. Union and separation. It goes on like this. And finally, there's eternal union when we go back to the spiritual world.